Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Hi, and thank you for joining us today on the Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Joining me today is Rob Kessler, successful entrepreneur and inventor of Million Dollar Collar. Thank you for joining us today, Rob.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Great. So I'll start with the opening question. What does success mean to you?
Success gives me the freedom to do what I want to do. I've worked for other people, including my father, and I know that working for somebody else just isn't my thing. And I would rather struggle for 80 or 90 hours a week than work for somebody else for 40. So, the success is the freedom to do what I want. We just bought this house here in Georgia in March of last year. So about 10 months ago. And, I work on my companies until 2 or 3 o'clock and I'm just itching to go outside and do something on the house and, get my hands dirty and bleed a little bit. And, that to me is happiness and success.
Absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got to where you are today?
Yeah. I mean, I've really not followed any kind of normal path. I mean, went to college, I was going to drop out after about 2 years, got inspired, caught up on all my classes, took winterum, took summer school, graduated in 4 years. I was working full-time almost all 4 years of college. So 40-hour work weeks and still doing full-time college and graduated in 4 years. So I got my marketing degree, got that that piece of paper, first person in my family to graduate. So that's pretty cool. While I was my junior and senior year, I worked for my father in the jewelry industry. So, I'm 20 years old trying to sell engagement rings, $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 engagement rings to people. So wasn't the easiest thing, but I was a decent salesperson. Left that, moved to help him open a store. Then I got into cars. I moved to California for a year just to kind of take a break, since obviously I didn't take spring break. I was working or taking classes. And so I kind of lumped all my college breaks into 1 year long party in Los Angeles with my friends. Came home, got into real estate. So I did residential real estate. I still have my license today. So it's been about 20 years since I did that. Ended up buying a duplex, bought a commercial building, bought another commercial building, sold all that, bought a yacht, started a charter business, running that right now, about to sell that, invented a product, had a screen printing business, embroidery business. Just did all kinds of stuff. Like if I find something I like, I'd start diving in, I'd get super inspired and just, if there's an opportunity, then to find a way to service a customer better, I do, and grow a little business and either sell it or close it and move on.
Yeah. So you think those early days in the jewelry shop were crucial to later on becoming the entrepreneur and that learning the sales craft early on in your life?
The sales helped in there. Actually, the job that really set me on my way, I worked at a little soccer and volleyball store in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The guy day one ended up handing me a key to the store, a code to the alarm, put his full faith and trust in me.
Awesome.
And he just said, whatever part of this business you want to be in, it's yours. And, he had 4 or 5 of us. We all became like the best of friends. We worked our butts off. We were in college, we'd party at night, but we really thought that that was our business. And he gave us the confidence to believe that we could really be, at 17, 18 years old, a business owner and have influence on what was happening. And that's what really gave me the confidence to go forward. So learning the different industries, cars and jewelry and houses, just learned how to craft that relationship. So going into e-commerce, which I'm in now, is just a whole nother world. I mean, it's a struggle because I can't build that personal relationship. I hear the cha-ching from Shopify, but I don't know how it gotten there. I don't know, what I could do to make better, but it's different. It's definitely different.
Absolutely. So entrepreneurs in general are just weird people, right? We break the mold. And as you described, people often call us overly confident, arrogant. And you come from a family of entrepreneurs, is that correct?
Yep.
So did they encourage you to go the entrepreneur life, or did they want you to go more of the traditional work at a job and that sort of thing?
My parents are very opposite. My dad's the entrepreneur, the businessman, highly successful. My mom, they got divorced when I was pretty young, and so she didn't have that. My dad kind of slowly grew that business after the divorce. She was working three jobs, but she still found time to spend, I spent more time with my mom with three jobs and living with my dad than I spent with my dad because he was working so much. So, I got the, conservative, take care of yourself and make sure you have something stable for my mom. And my dad was like, just, go after it. And I ended up going back to work for him. So I was in real estate in 2002 and three, I think is when I got in, and I was 23 years old, again, 24, trying to sell houses to people. My circle of influence just wasn't buying expensive houses. So I built a little business. I was doing $4.5-5 million a year at 26. And then 2008 happened. That all kind of crashed. I was on a condo project that basically came to a screeching halt. And my dad ended up having one of his longtime employees retiring. And so, it was kind of time. I needed something a little bit more stable. I had a duplex of my own. I had, some monthly bills and things. And so got back into that business with him. And then after about 2 years, top salesperson in the store in the city. And I was ready for more. I mean, he always talked about, you have my name, you're the son, you're going to take this over. And then it just never progressed. And so it was
Sure.
like always beating my head into the wall, like, dude, I need more of a challenge or I'm going to go
Yeah.
insane. Retail just wasn't my thing, just sitting around waiting for someone to come in. So we ended up, when we parted ways, we decided that family was more important than the business. And he was very supportive when I got into my screen printing business and really started to grow that. So
That's great.
he was
That's
supportive, but we never really had like the, you're going to be an entrepreneur or you're going to be a, that conversation never really happened. Is my parents have just been really supportive all throughout. So it's been great.
either way you go, right? Yeah, that's cool. So Steve Jobs said, "Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is everything around you that you call life was made by people that were no smarter than you, right? And you can change it. You can influence it. You can build your own thing that other people can use." People look at companies, patents, right? Books, successful people, and say, "There's no way I can do that." What would you say to them?
I've had a bunch of ideas before and I never really pursued them too much other than, tinkering around a little bit. But I don't know. I'm not a inventor. I wouldn't consider myself an inventor or some kind of like, game changer. But as I got through this process, I had a problem. If you look here, this is my wedding photo and my shirt. That's before I even said I do. And the photographer captured it perfectly. So I got a brand new shirt on. It's freshly pressed. It's steamed. It's 30 minutes old, and it's a crumbled, sloppy mess. And so I came home from Jamaica from our wedding, and I said, I have a problem, and I just started messing with it. And so it progressed, and I was like, okay, well, here's what it is. I cut open a shirt, and I put a piece of cardboard down the front, and I showed my new bride, and she was like, oh my God, I get what you've been like freaking out about all these years, because I'm ironing the front of the shirt. I hate wearing ties and I'm trying to make it look good. She's already ready to go out. And I'm like, still messing around with my shirt. And she's like, dude, what are you doing? So, it just kind of progressed. And now all of a sudden I got into this, like, hey, I want to fix this problem and maybe I'll sell a few units to people. And I'm 7 years in and it's, I don't want to sell a few units to a few people. I want to change dress shirts forever. There's no reason that my product shouldn't be in every single dress shirt. So, somebody came up with the collar stay in the 1800s and somebody came up with non-iron in the 50s. And, those things have changed dress shirts. And those have been the two major things that have happened in the last 150 years of dress shirts. So I plan on being the third. I didn't start out, coming out saying I'm going to do this, but it just kind of grew to that point.
Kind of developed because you found a need, right? And I think that's one of the things I see people suffer with is they have an idea, but sometimes there's not a need for it, and they're trying to push this idea and it's like this uphill battle. And then on the other side, I see people that have had tremendous success and they say, "Look, I never intended to get into this business." And it could be a septic tank business, right? It could be trash, whatever. But they said, "You know what? I found this need for it. And I just went where the need was and you know, created this successful business and this booming business from it. That sounds like what you did, right? So
well, I think the difference between the person that's successful and not is listening to your customer. I mean, we were going to come out with our own dress shirt when it started, and we did a Kickstarter. We didn't get funded. But unequivocally, the feedback was, why are you trying to compete with all the brands that are out there? Why not license the technology? And why can't I upgrade the shirts I already know and love? And so I changed from making a shirt and having, you know, $40,000 worth of inventory not get me very far and take up a room in my house to a universal aftermarket kit that can upgrade any shirt on earth. So I was willing to listen. And I think people that are successful are willing to listen to their paying customers, not their friends. I mean, your friends got a lot of opinions, but when they're willing to put up the money and then have an opinion, I listen to that guy before your friend.
That's awesome. Oh, that's good advice too. So being an entrepreneur, people always approach me with this great business idea that they have, right? And then they're hesitant of sharing that with fear of, you know, someone's going to steal it. You know, someone's going to steal their patent idea. Are their fears well-founded, or would they gain more traction sharing their ideas with others? I mean, what's the risk versus reward with that?
You know, I think you need to come out and protect yourself a little bit, but, you know, to NDAs are easily broken. I mean, at some point you have to talk about it. Otherwise what you have is just an idea and you're a wantrepreneur, not an entrepreneur. So, you know, a great name. I feel like my name is spectacular. $1 million collar. Could, you know, try to find something that's better than that in the industry. So you can, you know, Untuck It doesn't have anything proprietary, but they've got the best name for a shirt and they built a brand around the name, not really necessarily around the technology. So, you know, the patent is great, but you know, that becomes an entire war and it can be very expensive. My patent was in the six figures. So, you know, it's expensive to get, and there's been plenty of people that have done plenty of businesses without a patent. So it maybe gives you a little peace of mind, but at the end of the day, it's really not going to change a ton. I would just, you know, get some certain base things down. I mean, most entrepreneurs that you talk to, if you're looking for advice, have too much going on to try to steal what your idea is. Maybe it's a good idea, maybe it's not, but you're better off getting the advice and taking that than holding everything tight to the chest.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. I think that too many people have this fear and they want to hold everything close, and then it limits their development, you know, and we saw that in the software industry with open source software, right? Years ago, you had like the Microsofts and the large companies that would sue the hell out of you for doing anything with their software. And nowadays, everyone's embracing open source software. It's more of an abundance mindset, right? And if you share your ideas with others and get others to contribute, as long as you have good people, good brand, good mindset, your business is going to grow and flourish as a result of it. So I think that's a great, great idea.
Yeah, agreed.
Is entrepreneurship for everyone?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, I've been fortunate in that I followed kind of my passions and not really chased the dollar. I feel like when I chase the dollar, that's when I'm not successful. But, you know, my wife and I have grown a yacht charter business in Los Angeles, very competitive market, to one of the top rated, top book boats. We're 3 years in, we've got more business than we typically know what to do with. And wow, it's because incredible. We love boating and we just wanted to have. We couldn't afford to just buy a 50-foot yacht and let it sit there for most of the time. So we're like, well, we sold our commercial real estate. We bought this boat. We started this business. Like, hey, man, if we can get a few charters a month, we can pay for the thing and then we can go out and have fun. And then a few charters turned to, you know, July of last year, we had 34 charters in 1 month. And I think we did about 170 or 180 charters last year. So it's
great.
An amazing business, but it was because I was passionate about it, you know, and because you're passionate about something, that's when you're going to be able to fight through those times where you're second guessing life and not sure what you're doing. If you're just chasing the dollar, you know, it's easy to give up, I think.
So following up with that, I've never had partners in business. I've never had success with partners in business. And talking to you, it sounds like your wife has done some of it, but have you had partnerships in business in the past, ones you've done?
Yeah, so I have a partner, a partner and a half, I guess, in my current two ventures, Million Dollar Collar and GoTylist. So my partner, Steve, has been with me pretty much since the beginning. And then my dad is an investor slash partner in both of those businesses. He's retired, so he's enjoying life, and he busted his butt for a long time. So I don't put too much pressure on him. But my wife and I work really, really well together because she fills in the gaps where I'm weak, and I fill in the gaps where she's weak. So, I'm kind of the big picture. I think we can do this. What if we did this? And, go steamroll ahead and try to buy a boat and figure out a business. And then she sits down and says, okay, well, we need a contract, and we need a waiver, and we need to make sure we're protected, and we need insurance, and we need this and the website. And, she handled all that kind of stuff. So, between the two of us, then it's like, okay, we get on the boat. And what if we did this? What if we did that? And, our egos get in the way sometimes when we fight, but at the end of the day, this business has grown insanely fast because we both have contributed a lot to what our strengths are and made it great. So I know that there's only so much I can do, and having the partner, not your best friend, that you guys are exactly the same and you think the same and you do everything the same. You need the person that's the exact opposite of you, not the same as you. Otherwise you're going to get tunnel vision and, nobody challenging you. So.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts on taking on debt, starting up a business?
I try to avoid it. My businesses, for the most part, I try to funnel the money back through as much as possible in the early years. Obviously getting a patent and starting this business, there was nothing. So, I was cutting checks left and right for this patent attorney. But once the business started, and I just try to keep as much money into it as possible and recycle that. And my dad likes to say you have to earn the right to grow. So keep that money in there, and then when you've built up a little stash, then you can go invest in something else to help grow the business.
That's smart method. So it sounds like your dad has been kind of a mentor to you over the years. Have you had any other mentors in your life, or is that your primary mentor?
Yeah, no, I've had tons of mentors. That first guy, Tim, that I worked for, he was closer to me than my dad was for a while because my dad was so deep into growing his business. So, I've had him. When I moved to Los Angeles, within a couple months, I went in this business networking hike, totally random. Me and this guy, Russ, started talking for the whole trip and, for this like hour or two long hike. Then he's like, hey, let's go to lunch. He'd pick up the tab and he's like, I really love what you're doing. I'm like, cool, but what do you do? Like, why are you buying everything all the time? He's like, oh, me and my friend started a little travel site called Expedia.
No way.
So he became a very, very good friend and mentor. And I just know that if I can put myself in a room of smart people and be the dumbest guy in the room, then I'm going to learn something. And so that hike led me into this networking group. It wasn't really networking. It was a men's group. It was like a brotherhood in Los Angeles. And I just met like incredible people and surrounded myself with them the best I could and learn as much as I can always.
What an awesome story. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I loved LA, man. You never know who you're going to meet. It was just, that's my wife and I, we spent 5.5 years there, and it was just like, don't know. I've got 6 or 8 Olympians in my phone and actors, and my network grew out there unbelievably, and it's musicians, and Pauly Shore was on our boat. We went out to lunch with him after, and he's like, hey, do you want my number? And I'm like, sure, Pauly Shore, I'll take your number. What is happening?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, but I mean, it raises, I think humans are far more, we have greater potential than we give ourselves credit for. And so it's often difficult to see what your limits are, right? And until you get around other people and you say, oh my God, yeah, that is possible, right? And I think that's a game changer, especially when you grow up with potentially limited means, and limited could be, a middle class family or upper middle class family or whatever, but eventually there's the limitations. And if you approach life with those same limitations, you have to kind of step outside your little bubble and see what is possible to grow beyond that. And I think it sounds like the yacht business for you has, and in that industry has been a great opportunity for you to meet people outside of your sphere.
Oh yeah, I've met an unbelievable another one of my mentors. His daughter found us. She wanted to take our boat for her 21st birthday, and he's like, "Okay, well, before I hand over my prized oldest daughter, that I love more than anything, let's take these guys up." And so he came out for a sunset cruise like a couple of days before his daughter's birthday, just to like check it out, make sure she was going to be safe. And ended up coming out like 8 or 10 times. He brought Ron White, the comedian, and
Oh,
a
cool.
bunch of people he brought out. And so it just was like we really hit it off. And so the putting yourself out there and just getting around people, especially people that have done more things than you have, to me is the best. I get inspired by that. I come home. I say to everybody about LA when we move there, it's either going to gobble you up because you're going to see all the success and all the excess and say that I'm never going to have that and have a pity party, or you're going to say, dude, that's amazing. I want that
I
too,
want
and find a way to
that.
kind of get in there. And so that's how we took it. We're like, I want to be a part of that. So my wife ended up becoming a Hollywood stunt woman. She worked her butt off. So she's doubling crazy actresses. She does insane movies and TV shows and music videos. And I mean, she's just done all kinds of crazy stuff. And
How
it's
did
just
she get
like,
into
it's the
that? I
wildest
mean,
thing.
yeah, what's the story behind
So
that? That's incredible.
when we moved to LA, I knew I was going to do Million Dollar Collar. We knew we had to get out of Wisconsin because we were just, stuck and bored and just not being challenged. And so she had a little gym that she closed down, and we thought we were going to get, or she was going to get into like Beachbody corporate or something, in that world. We were just out hiking the dogs one day with the only people we knew, which were the leasing people in our apartment building. And the guy's like, "Oh, one of my former, residents was a stunt man. Do you want to meet him?" And she's like, "Hell yeah, let's meet him." So we met him, and he told her all the horrible things about the industry. That, you're constantly bruised and sore and long days.
That's
And she goes, "Awesome. Awesome. Let's try it."
it.
So she started training with those guys, and then Russ, the Expedia guy, had us over. He's like, "Hey, we're gonna go watch Zoolander 2, and I've got this couple that's coming, and she's a stunt woman, and maybe Linda can talk to her." And turned out that that lady was Trinity's double in all the original Matrix movies, and
No
so
way.
she kind of became a mentor for Linda and said, "Hey, go do this, this, and this." And Linda came back, called her like a week later, and said, "Hey, I did all those things you said." And she's like, "What? Nobody ever does what." So if you're gonna have a mentor, just do what they say at least. Don't waste their time. So she did it, and then she's like, "Okay, well, now that you did these things, go talk to this person and that person." And each time, the challenge was a little bit higher, and she got to meet more impressive people. And Linda's resume is amazing for only being in the industry 5 years. She's worked more than most people that are 8, 10, 12 years in the industry. So hustle, baby.
Hustle, I get it. And then it sounds like you guys are phenomenal at networking as well. I mean, just the people you're rubbing shoulders with are it's phenomenal. So, and
Yeah, I mean,
then
every time we'd go out to LA once or twice a year, we'd come home and be like, "God, we just met them." I don't know how it happens. Like, we just out and bought, like, we met Nick and Sophie Simmons one time, and just like on these trips, we go out and we just meet these people. And it's like, dude, we met more incredible people in a weekend in LA than like a year in Wisconsin. So, like, let's go. And we just do.
It's great for business. I know a lot of people join different groups, that people golf, obviously for networking and whatever they do to get around that. And you guys have, it sounds like, figured out a very good way of doing it. So that's
My
great.
wife's super hot too, so it makes it easy to meet people, meet guys. Yeah,
That
guys are always willing to talk to me because they're, "How'd you do that? What do you got? What's going on?"
So you guys are walking in public and your wife has like bruises on her arms and stuff, and you guys get funny
Well, no,
looks like.
she'll come home though, and she's taking a shower, and she's like, "Oh, there's a new one." It's like in her upper thigh somewhere, and it was just, she's jujitsu or one of the trainings that she's doing or something that she did on set. And it's, you're doing your thing and there's so much adrenaline, you don't know that you got,
Yeah, you
really
got
hammered
hurt.
somewhere.
Sure.
But she was training one time and took an elbow to the face and broke her nose. And so I met her at the hospital and all the doctors and nurses were like, how did this happen? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I appreciate you're doing your job, but I did nothing. I just got here. Just being a supportive husband, like a real supportive husband.
Right.
She's a stunt woman. I'm in fashion. You know, we have the opposite roles.
That's right. Right. That's crazy. They get everything back into place. I mean, did she have to go through?
Oh yeah.
To get that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Still smoking hot.
Yeah. That's great. Well, honestly, you incredible person to talk to. I mean, I'm just awed by the things that you and your wife have done and the life that you have lived and the success that you've seen. And, you know, when we talk about success in life, you know, part of that is enjoying life, you know, enjoying this life we live. And it sounds like you guys really are enjoying life and finding a way to, you know, provide value to others along the way. And that to me is really what success is all about. Closing it out, you know, how do people get a hold of you? How do they follow you? Tell the people how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, we have Instagram, Facebook, and a website for Million Dollar Collar, which we didn't really talk about. But so Million Dollar Collar is like a collar stay, except it's 9 inches long and it goes down the front of the shirt. So if you like to wear a dress shirt without a tie and you want to look good and put together all day, Million Dollar Collar prevents the front of your shirt, that part's called the placket, from collapsing and crumbling and looking terrible like it did on my wedding day. So milliondollarcollar.com, we're on Facebook and Instagram, Million Dollar Collar. We also have a side company called Go Tieless, which was the first shirt designed to be tieless with Million Dollar Collar built in. And we took that company a step further. My factory can digitally print any logo on fabric. So if you've got employees that you want to have kind of a uniform shirt, but not, you know, a left chest embroidered trade show looking shirt, we can take this contrast fabric, any color logo, and print your logos right onto that fabric and then put the shirts together inside the cuff as well. Unbelievable shirts. It's a 50 piece minimum. We can combine your orders. We could do a little bit less than 50 if we have to, but they're incredible. Made in Turkey. They're super high quality. And so that one's called Go Tieless. And then if anybody wants to connect on LinkedIn, I'm at Rob Kessler, III. I am the third.
Well, thank you very much, Rob, for joining us today. And everyone, will see you next time.
Awesome.
Well, thank you guys for watching today. Be sure to like and subscribe for more future episodes of Success Is Podcast. If you have any suggestions, please comment below. Look forward to seeing you next time.